Greetings, geeks, and welcome to another episode of This Geek in Comics. This is episode 6 for March 25th. New books that came out on March 25th. This Geek in Comics is brought to you by OutrightGeekery.com and Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Sons of Massey!
If you're in Nashville area, come check them out. Links to all that on Outright Geekery. This Geek in Music, our weekly intro music, is brought to you by The Mummies. That song is called Digested. It's off an album called Heavy Desert. And they got a new album coming out this week, so go to the website and check that out there. This podcast covers comic books from this week, from, what was it, March 25th?
March 25th,
new comics. So if you haven't read those yet...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not listen right now.
Stick your fingers in your ears and go la 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 la.
Maybe come back. All right, that's all the lawyer shit we got to do.
Yeah.
I'm Gomer. And we got, who else?
David.
Jules.
And we're going to talk about comic books. There were a lot of good comics this week. It's weird. I only read two Marvel books. I must have read like at least half a dozen or more Image books. But the two Marvel books were easily my favorites, man.
Really?
Let's talk about Marvel books first.
Okay, let's talk about Marvel books first.
What were your favorite book? Was easily New Avengers. What number is it? 34? 32? It's Hickman still continuing the road to Secret Wars.
Dragging it out.
Well, he's got a lot of loose ends to tie up.
Yeah, you know, he's got lots of things that he's left out.
The Celestials were there. He had to tie them up.
Right.
He sent off people into the multiverse.
Yeah.
The multiversal Avengers is what he was calling it. It was Thor, Hyperion,
Starbrand,
Nightmask,
Abyss, and the X Nilo.
Like an army of them.
Yeah, tons of them.
But by the time we find them in here, there's like five left.
Yeah.
They've just been decimated, man.
Just getting
going from universe
murdered.
To universe, fighting off the
Black Priest, everybody. What was it? The Map Makers?
Yeah, the Map Makers. Well, in this issue, they're kind of at the end of their wits. They can't really get anywhere else. It seems like Nightmask de-ages.
Yeah, it keeps getting younger and younger.
He keeps getting younger and younger as
he
teleports them on.
Yeah,
so in this one, he teleports them one last time, or tries to, and becomes like an embryo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
saying? He goes all the way back to being born.
Yeah, well, past that.
Yeah, he goes past his own existence.
I don't have the density yet. It's like bread. But, yeah.
Oh, they're promotional lollipops.
I'm hoping that the next few issues of Avengers Hickman's run are not as depressing as this.
Yeah, this one is really sad. Actually, the last couple...
the last couple of issues have been kind of
really, really, really sad.
Sad.
I mean, he's really just building you to tears to Secret Wars.
And he's got to. Everything ends. It can't be a pleasant thing.
But it's like
can't be nice.
He's been building into you from issue one of New Avengers.
Oh, definitely.
That everything dies. That's like the first thing you read in this title.
Well, our
and
team
it keeps getting built into every issue.
Well, let's get into the meat of it. Okay. Our team is hanging out in the multiverse and they're stuck. And Nightmask tries to teleport him and he doesn't get off. And he disappears. He doesn't get him away. He doesn't do what he's supposed to do and boom.
Right.
They're stuck like in the nether regions between worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all pitch black except for this one sliver of light. What happens to come out of the light but a couple of Beyonders?
Yep.
Howdy do, people.
Yeah, hey guys. And, dude, I'm telling you, these Beyonders are wicked. They're like...
They're gnarly looking.
The one looks like a freaking Gundam, and the other one looks like that dude Globulus from the old G.I. Joe. All half snake dude.
Oh, the one that was voiced
in
by
Cobra
Meredith.
Lot. Yeah,
yes,
Meredith.
Yes.
Or Burgess Meredith.
Burgess Meredith.
Yes.
Yeah.
But...
You're a bum, Cobra Commander.
You're a bum, Cobra Commander. But in this Thor-own son, who isn't our main Thor, right? He's got the Thor with two R's, hammer.
Yes.
And in order to pick that up, you have to be unworthy.
Yes.
The only people who can pick it up are unworthy.
Yes.
But he's using it to kick some Beyonder ass, and they actually do. Quasar gets owned. Isn't that his name?
Yeah.
They all get owned.
They get messed up.
It's just brutal. At one point,
Starbrand gets stabbed.
At one point, the X-Nilo take out
sacrifice
a Beyonder.
Their entire selves.
They sacrifice
turn a Beyonder into a tree.
And I was like, all right, they may have a chance. And then the Beyonder that's left just rips off Thor's other arm, like his bad arm, but that was made good. And...
it's epic looking.
It's epic. Everybody gets destroyed, man. everybody. Hyperion takes it to the eyes. And honestly, this is the big deal. This is why it was such a good issue. Thor is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Thor, the Thor we've known for ever, I guess. Ever. Since the last Ragnarok, anyway.
Yeah.
Is dead. A good part of it, just before he dies, he can't pick up the Thor hammer anymore, yeah. Meaning he is worthy
again.
So that's kind of cool.
And he laughs it off.
Yeah, he does laugh it off. That's his attitude now. Oh, you know, this is only the way it could go. That's how our luck's been. But...
but in this
kind
one
of a
issue,
sad issue, that it's a heroic finish, the kind of finish that heroes like Hyperion and Thor deserve. But wow,
the entire multiversal Avengers is Hickman just calling them to die.
Dead.
Every member dies.
They're
in this
all
one
gone.
Issue.
Yeah, they're all gone.
Spoiler alert.
He doesn't just kill a member; he destroys an entire team with an army of Beyonders.
To give you an idea of what is actually coming.
There's no way Earth is going to survive this. There's nothing they can do.
One of our heaviest hitters, two of our heaviest hitters get taken out.
By pretty much a single Beyonder. And two of them take out the entire... And that's... Yeah, it's amazing. And
and it doesn't bode well for what's to come. It really
it's
going to
be depressing and sad. And
everything is...
What are we going to do, guys?
Yeah, it's
it is a mountain put in front of them.
So... everything is going to end. There's no hiding it.
No.
There's no way around it. There's not going to be any taking this back.
No.
There's no way that anybody on the... maybe if the Sentry was still around.
Maybe.
But I
maybe,
doubt
but,
these are beyond...
well, you know,
they're
he is still
insane.
Lurking around.
But it's like
Remender
an undead...
Remender did not finish
it's
yet.
It's like an undead...
but
Dakin's
come back
version.
From that.
The one that showed up in the ass versus but, the Army of Darkness.
Yeah, right.
Marvel
yeah.
Zombies.
But
no, no.
Dakin isn't... Dakin isn't the Sentry, man.
No.
You know what I mean? Power-wise.
Exactly. The
I just don't know if
Dokken could fix himself.
I don't know if he could come back from that. I'm just saying. Even though, if he did, it's not going to happen.
We're going to see?
Yeah, we're going to see.
See.
All right, what else?
What was your other favorite? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, Darth Vader.
Oh, it was great.
It was a fun issue. It takes Darth Vader in directions that I wouldn't have imagined they would have ever taken the character. But it was really good.
Like, the first time since, like, you know, the Clone Wars series that we see... and episode 3 that we see Vader
and Slash Anakin
interacting with a person on an individual
human
personal
role. Yeah, almost.
Well, he was Vader up to this point has his role in the Empire has been a military leader.
Yes.
And
he found himself diminished.
He failed as a military leader, lost the biggest prize the Emperor has ever had.
Yes.
To some just, you know, lowly, you know, douchebag. Luke's a douchebag. He is. He's just a punk kid. Yeah. And,
I will teach this boy manners.
Yeah, I'll teach you manners, boy.
Yeah.
But, and I liked it because we see the evil R2-D2 C-3PO. Very cool. I'm not sure about this chatty girl that he's hanging out with.
You know,
she is very chatty, but she's
it's a very Karen Gillan character.
Yes.
She's
exactly
very much like
say.
A character you expect him to put into any story.
The way the character was introduced, the way it was such in your face, it feels like this is the character Karen Gillan wanted to write in his Star Wars book and just had to figure out a way to do it.
Yeah. And he wanted Princess Leia.
Yeah.
He wanted Princess Leia
and then
hanging out with Darth Vader. Yeah. And they're like, no. He's like, okay, this is what I'm going to do then.
But the stuff, Triple Zero, I think his name is, what was the astromech droid?
The
Astro...
BT-1
or something?
I want to say BLT, but I know that's
the kill droid?
Yeah, the kill droid.
Yes.
Astro kill droid.
The Astro kill droid.
Very cool conceptually. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
for you,
I'm anxious to see where it goes from here. Next issue goes back to Geonosis.
Yeah.
And it was cool how Vader said he has no real opinion, no feeling about it. So that's kind of neat.
It was cool.
Hopefully, Kieran Gillen doesn't move away from Vader. I want the book to still be about Vader, not these side characters. Although they're very cool.
Yeah.
I want it to still
Kieran
be about
Gillen,
Vader.
Love him to death. Is like, what's the best way to put this? The PG-13 version of Warren Ellis.
Okay.
He's gonna be weird, but he's not gonna go so off the beaten path that you're gonna feel
like
none of it's worth it.
Yeah.
He's not gonna Warren Ellis you.
I hope not, dude.
So there's like some Indiana Jones Easter eggs.
Yeah.
There did seem. Well, she was sort of. She even said an archaeologist.
Yeah.
And there wasn't. It doesn't. It belongs in a arsenal or an armory. It belongs in an armory. Was one of the lines from the book, and it was straight out of Indiana Jones. So great stuff. And he's allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Marvel can write Indiana Jones comics.
Yeah.
We will see Marvel writing an Indiana Jones comic in the next 5 years. Mark my words, we'll see that. But those are my two big picks for the week, even though Image Comics had, I don't know, at least eight books that I read, eight or nine that I read. And my third favorite book wasn't even either of those, but I can still talk about that later. You guys, what was your favorite book of the week?
I can go. I can go. I really also loved New Avengers 32.
Brilliant book.
Brilliant. It was, oh my gosh. It was absolutely... It's one of those satisfying issues that remind you why you pick up that book.
It's satisfying that Hickman can still make the end that we all know is coming dramatic and meaningful and have emotion to it. And this did.
Yeah.
We knew everybody was going to die. Yeah. We didn't realize. I figured Thor and his team were going to make it back to the final battle.
I thought they would be in Secret Wars. They're gone. They're out of the race.
Hank Pym survived. Yes. These fools couldn't.
Hank Pym saw the Beyonders destroy the universe.
And he made it.
And he made it back with a beard.
It drove him insane.
It drove him nuts.
And he made it.
And of course, he's Yellow Jacket again because he's nuts.
Yeah.
And,
well, go ahead with your other
picks. Okay. I'm going to have to be honest. My favorite was Deathlock.
Really?
It was really, really good.
Nathan Edmondson, Nathan Perkins? Perkins? Mike Perkins.
It's a really, really fun, like, hi-fi military book. And I don't normally find myself reading these kinds of books. Certainly not in, like, one of the big two books.
Yeah.
Like, if this was, like, an Image book, I would probably be ranting about it more than I do.
Yeah.
But the fact that it takes place in the 616, it's like a hard-pressed book for me to want to talk about.
So
because it feels cheap. I'm like, yeah, Marvel sci-fi.
Everybody knows
book.
Deathlock the character. He's like a cyborg.
Yeah.
Half-human,
no,
half-cyborg.
The original
killing
iteration.
Machine.
Yes. From the future.
But from the future.
The Terminator.
This Deathlock is pretty much the same thing, but he doesn't know that he's Deathlock.
Yes. So this Deathlock,
it's kind of got a Secret Wars, Battlestar Galactica sort of feel.
The cool
to
thing
it.
About this Deathlock is it's the first Deathlock that is not from another reality. He's made in our in this present 616.
In the, this time, he's
in
not
this
from the
time.
Future.
He's not from
an alternate
future,
reality.
No. He is legitimately an experiment made.
Well, that's a nice
by this modern
character.
Technology. He was a...
stolen right from probably Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I'm cool actually, with that. I'm cool
but
with
yeah,
that.
It's been pretty much right out of Agents
oh,
of
okay,
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, okay, cool.
He was a soldier, but he was a medic in the military, and he worked on rescue relief. Now, to his knowledge, since he got injured, he just does rescue relief and doesn't do any military operations.
Okay.
But the fact is, he lost his arm and his leg in an incident, and Stark provided cybernetics to him. And what he doesn't know is he's actually a weapon. He is a tool that a private military group uses.
It's sort of like a
for missions.
It's like that scene from Chappie where they convince the robot
to
help him out. He's not killing people, he's helping them go to sleep.
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
He gets mind wiped after every mission. He thinks he's been out rescuing people from a tsunami, helping people in an earthquake.
So they replace it.
Yeah, they replace it.
Nice.
So he thinks
with
he's being a good... Yeah.
A wonderful place.
Yes, he thinks he's been a good person this whole time. And he does these epic rescues.
That's weird. That's a cool twist.
It's a cool... And then in this issue... I mean, it's been like a really good read. This issue kind of... It's exactly what you expect was going to eventually happen. He becomes self-aware. He goes out... He has a daughter. And she sneaks out. And he goes chasing her. And then in his normal life gets the shit beaten out of him by some muggers.
And he can't do anything about
and
it.
He can't do anything about it because he doesn't
have
know
the knowledge.
No, he doesn't have
neat.
The same knowledge
as
he does as Deathlock.
Very cool.
So he gets the crap beaten out of him and it damages the mind wiping device in his head.
So he remembers.
He starts to remember everything and becomes self aware that they talk to him in his head.
Wow.
And so now he has to pretend to be Deathlock.
Yeah.
In order to make sure his daughter is okay. And to make sure, like, they don't kill him.
That's a cool hero's journey.
It is. It's a cool hero's journey.
Yeah.
The first six issues have been a really cool journey to pick up.
Because he has to come to terms with his own sort of vile nature that he had no control over. But now he needs that vile
nature in order to stay alive.
Very. And to help his daughter and to save his kid.
I just think it's a really cool concept that he's thought he's saved all these lives. And all he's been doing is murdering people. Taking.
So now he can make up for that.
Yes.
Very
but
cool. Very, very
because
fun.
He's an asset and he's all cybernetic, they can watch him do what he's doing.
Oh, okay.
So he has to continue to play the part.
Or
they have
shut
access,
him down. Or,
they have access to him all the time.
Well.
He could literally be shut down like while on the toilet.
Damn.
that have total access to
that. That would suck. That's how Elvis went.
It's terrifying. Yeah, I think it's an interesting premise that.
Yeah.
And in this issue, I feel like they've nailed it at this point in time.
A lot of love for the Marvel books.
A lot of love. And you know what? Credit to them, it's not what I would call a normal Marvel book.
Okay.
Like I said, like if this was like an Image book, I'm sure it would be a bestseller.
Because
it's so different.
Yeah.
The sci-fi military style. It's got a really cool look to it. It's got a very interesting character. It's got a lot of... Very Scandal-like. It's got a lot of... Just the people who control him have a lot going on.
Oh, neat. Very cool.
Yes, like the girl who controls him is actually a spy for S.H.I.E.L.D. trying to uncover these human experiments. And she works for Maria Hill.
So it's a lot of layers.
But now she's stuck.
There's a lot of espionage layers going on.
There's a lot of espionage layers. Now she's stuck because she knows he's aware and they can't say anything. A lot of layers. It's a heavy book.
And what number is that up?
Six.
So that's the first arc.
This is the first arc just coming into culmination.
The first arc is still on the shelf. Probably.
Yeah, first arc is probably of Deathlok is probably still on the shelf.
This isn't going to make it past Secret Wars at all. But
yeah.
It's a great read until then. And what I'll say is, I give a lot of credit to Nathan Edmondson. I'm not a Punisher fan.
Yeah.
I haven't been a huge Black Widow fan in years. I wasn't certainly a Deathlok fan beyond him appearing in the X books.
He's definitely one of the top guys over there.
All three books he's writing right now are awesome.
It's amazing.
It's
because he's one of those writers that no one really talks about, yet he does. He's got three really good books going on right now.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of espionage, but they're all different.
They're very, very, very different.
Yeah. Good on to him. Good on to him.
Alright.
You got a book, David, that you like this week.
Yep. Image Comics Wayward number 6 come out this week.
Jim Zub. Steve Cummings.
Yeah. Good team.
Great place to jump on the new readers. Essentially, it's taking place 3 months after the events of issue 5.
The first arc.
Which is, in the real world, it's been 3 months since issue 5 came out.
Yeah,
right. We get introduced
kind of oddly enough, it has,
We get introduced to a new character, O'Hara Emmy.
But not really. We're sort of reintroduced.
Yeah.
Because I went back and looked, and she does show up in that panel that they talked about.
Yeah, but you don't know it's her.
You don't know until
it's kind of just there.
Yeah.
But she, new character, essentially.
But Yanni just got awesome all of a sudden.
Yanni's always been awesome.
No, she wasn't the cat girl. She was the one who followed the rainbows.
No, she was the cat girl.
Okay, the cat girl's always been awesome.
Yes.
The one that followed the rainbows wasn't in this issue. What was her name? The one who followed the past. The one who was mainly about...
The main character. Rory.
I thought she was in this. She was in this.
She appears in this, but you don't know if she's a dream or not.
Okay. That's right. That's right.
It was her and Ciara.
I'm sorry, because I reread the first arc to catch up with this. I'm just
her and Ciara disappeared after the explosion in issue 5.
Yeah.
But if you go back and read issue 5, you kind of notice that she's making a cocoon of the ribbons, which she sees the ribbons that connect everything.
But other people can't.
She's a weaver.
Yeah.
And she's dangerous because she can bring together the people that can help her
destroy these Japanese demons and evil. Yeah.
She can assemble the team.
Yeah.
So she's the dangerous one. She doesn't appear.
So it looks like that's what we're still doing.
Yeah.
Building the team.
We obviously get a new member.
Yeah.
Ione shows up, different hair color.
I'm interested in where they've been for 3 months. What's been going on since?
I think issue 7 will talk about that.
I hope
issue 7 will talk about that, because basically when you got the kids at the school talking about Rory and Shiari, they basically said that they've run off together and that they're the ones that caused the explosion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trifling at school, gossiping sort of stuff. Yeah. Which was actually weird to see and kind of awkward to be enjoying the little school interaction. I'm watching a Japanese. Is this a manga? What is this on? It's really an Americanized manga.
Mm-hmm.
In a weird way, the storytelling, the art especially, is like that. But it's a great series. It's a good issue.
I never think of his name. The other guy, the The one that can blow up stuff when he gets emotional.
Oh yeah, I don't remember his name either.
It starts with trouble with like, names, like Nagatori or something
like
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he demonstrated a new ability. He calmed that the fox spirit down so Ione could kill it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is very weird.
Yeah, he was basically like saying, "Be calm," and Ione comes up and just like smacks him.
And he almost seemed hesitant to do it. Like he almost didn't like tricking him. It was very. I'm anxious to see where it's going.
But with like Ohara, I don't know what it is exactly she can do, but apparently when she touches stuff, she can absorb it. Because
mm-hmm.
like she had like the little knick-knack from the store. That's, she was basically absorbing the plastic.
That's why I'm anxious to see where they've been for 3 months. Because obviously all these characters, especially these characters who knew they've had powers, somehow their powers have either changed or evolved. And I want to know how Rory is responsible for that. Because if she can see this path where they're walking, she can obviously get them there quicker.
Yeah.
Right.
Perhaps, if she's doing it from behind the scenes.
Like she's maybe the Professor X of this team that they're building.
Well, I think we get the new bad for the second one.
Yeah.
The lady. Spider lady.
I'm not sure where they're going with that because we sort of left with Rory's mother also being an integral character.
Rory's mother got killed in 50s.
But they're still going to talk about her involvement in everything.
Something like a flashback.
But that's what I want. Well, we skip ahead 3 months. They really need to fill in those 3 months now. But Jim Zub, great writer.
Good writer.
He's the series that he started that I first heard about him is called Skull Kickers. Skull Kickers number 31 came out today. It came out this week.
Yeah,
it's the start of the very last arc of that book, of that series. It's kind of bittersweet. The entire issue is nothing but a huge bar fight.
Yeah,
and it even makes a joke halfway through. It said, "Yeah, the entire you think this issue is just one big bar fight? You're right. The entire arc is going to be one huge bar fight." And it's like, all right.
So the fourth wall, right?
Yeah. Well, he's been doing it the whole series.
Over here from the picture.
The whole thing has been, just a tongue-in-cheek, homage to fantasy and fun and every D&D game you've ever played, where everyone's drank a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was fun. And the other book I wanted to talk about was Windblade number 1, The Combiner Wars. Really fun book. I didn't really care for the coloring in it because it's so different from the other Combiner Wars book.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted the art to be a little bit better. But seeing giant robots, even more giant than the usual giant robots that are in Transformers, kick the shit out of each other.
It's always a good time.
Have they introduced the new Combiner, the fan-made Combiner?
No, they haven't done that yet. They're probably going to wait until halfway or more through the arc to do that. But I'm excited. Devastator hasn't really even shown up yet.
Really?
Yeah, they got Superion and Menasor hanging out right now. And Menasor hadn't been around for a while. Superior's been kind of in a coma. But they fixed him, and Menasor, was able to come back. Windblade comes from a colony from far, far away that other Cybertronians haven't seen for years. This colony knows nothing about the Cybertronian Civil War, which has been going on for millions of years. That's been over. That's been over for a while, the Cybertronian Civil War. But it seems that they go by the old ancient rules, where they treat their religion very seriously, even more so than Cyclonus for people who have been reading it. But to them, people who hold the Matrix of Leadership are holy. And Optimus Prime is pretty much the Jesus of an entire colony of Cybertronians. And anybody who's been reading the series knows that he's been on the outs. He's not really a bad character, he just represents the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And since the Civil War has ended, he kind of left, became Orion Pax again, hung out on Earth for a while, and now he's back. And in the thick of it in this Combiner Wars, and he's just been introduced to a planet that thinks he's sort of like a Transformers Jesus. Anybody who reads Transformers know they get very religious. They deal with deep stuff in there, and it's exciting to see where that goes. It's cool for Optimus to get back again, to have a.
Is this like the Paragon from like Generation 1 cartoon?
No, it might be like that, but it's going to be a little bit different. They've done a really good job of keeping everything different. So hopefully they do that. And that's really all I had this week, man. Those were my favorite books. Those four. I could have read nothing else and been good because the Image books I read were bad.
Really?
Yes.
There was not a lot for me out independently.
I read everything Image. I always read everything Image.
Some Black Mask. I thought that was
pretty cool. Talk about the Black Hood. From Black Mask Black Studios.
Hood. Black Hood.
No, it's Dark Circle Studios, Black Hood.
Yes. That's right.
Uh, Issue 2 didn't turn out like
issue
I had
2 hoped. Wasn't as good as issue 1
no,
was.
It didn't turn out like I had hoped it would turn out.
Now who's that again? It's Michael Gaidos.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. And I'm not sure who else, but yeah,
it's pretty good.
Dark Circle's Archie's adult imprint.
Yeah. Yes.
But it didn't turn out kind of like how I would have hoped. Kind of actually turned out where he was basically in jail.
Yeah.
Or he got arrested at the end of it. Somebody planted drugs on him.
Yeah.
He already had.
Yeah. He already had drugs.
That's weird. So kind of a lull in the story right now.
Yeah.
It was the press guy, wasn't it?
Yes.
Or is that what they're doing, building a mystery of who's setting him up?
Yeah.
And why are they, maybe they're setting him up for a reason.
Maybe.
I know the first issue made it look like it was going to be more like knit and grit vigilante, and then the second issue was just, he's just does drugs, and then he got busted.
That's
pretty much it.
Tripping out.
And he like steals drugs. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's shaking. Cop. Yeah, he starts shaking down people, and then he gets busted.
Huh.
That's kind of not where I thought that book was going to go.
I didn't think it
the cover doesn't even make
I
you think it's going to be more vigilante stuff,
and
it's not.
I was expecting he'd come across a cache of weapons and basically be like...
And be a Batman.
Yeah.
Right?
Be a Punisher.
Yeah, the first issue makes you think he's going to be the Punisher.
Yeah.
And the second issue's like, oh no, he just does lots of drugs, and he's not a good person.
He's a drug-fueled Punisher.
Yeah.
He's just not Punisher.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Well, let's talk about Image books, because there were a lot, and nothing impressed me. I want to see if you guys have read any of these. The Autumnlands, Tooth and Claw, number 5.
It was pretty good. It wasn't as good as the first four.
It was definitely a lull.
It was a lull.
Definitely.
A lull.
But this was the issue that was supposed to be the end cap for the trade, right? Or is issue 6 going to be
issue
that?
Issue 6 is supposed to be
that. This one, this first arc needed to be an issue less than it was. It was not good.
Issue 5 just didn't make to me it like, and it, like every writer does this when you're on a roll and then you don't know how to cap it off.
Maybe.
And you find yourself like picking at straws.
Exactly. Drifter, I'm still a few issues behind on Drifter. Our empty number 2 first issue did not throw me at all. I could barely make it through the second issue. Fuse number 11. I love the series.
I
it's
love
a great
the series
crime, drama in science fiction setting. This issue just was. It was another red herring. You know it is. Yeah. Obviously it is. Hopefully the final issue to the arc, which will be issue 12, will have some, you know, redemption for this, but it was hard to get there. Goners number 6. I know, David, you've been a fan of Goners.
I picked it up. I haven't read it yet.
Okay. And then Intersect, which has just been the most confusing book. It's been terrible.
It should have been canceled after issue 2.
Mice Templar started a new book called Night's End. I hadn't had a chance to read it. There were
the Divine.
They're not like us. Number 4.
They're like
another
they're not like
lull.
Us. Yeah, it
was another lull where we found out some cool things like you. Like the voice has this power over people where they're making them forget their names, their previous identities, and I'm just that was really the only thing about
it was
a
reaching
compelling.
Issue.
It was very reaching.
It was very reaching.
You mentioned Wicked and Divine 9. Go ahead.
It was really good. You've got the last deity,
and it was a shock.
Yeah.
It was Cassandra.
Yes.
The reporter. Who's
the reporter. Been there the whole time.
But who's been the skeptic. The biggest skeptic.
Of course Cassandra is the final deity.
But then even
and
when
it destroys... What's her name?
The main character.
The main
I forget
character.
Her name yet.
Oh my god.
She's almost taken a back seat.
Yeah, she, in the
she's
last,
like our guide.
In this second arc, she has been...
Well, she's like our guide through the story, but she's almost taken like a back seat to just everything in our face, just these gods. We learn a lot about the old lady in charge. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. She's
clearly
names.
Pushing Baphomet to do something.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. My thing is with Cassandra, you find out that she is the last goddess. I don't remember her name. I have trouble with all these names of these.
She's got a
deities.
Really weird name.
Yeah, Inoxia.
It's like Inoxia.
But she's even more skeptical now.
Yeah.
She like knows why she's skeptical and knows how to say no. It's all bullcrap. So yeah, I'm really excited to see where it goes. Man.
It wasn't a worthy follow up to issue.
There was no way that it was going to be a follow up to issue 8. Issue 8
was incredible.
Issue 8 easily. I'm not going to say easily. Arguably, the best issue of the year so far. Period of any comic.
It was gorgeous.
Period.
Yeah,
it was
amazing.
Well sequenced.
Yeah. Let's talk about Witches number 5, the penultimate chapter. There's one more issue left of this story. Of this volume, anyway.
Yeah.
They're going to do another Witches, I'm sure. But Witches Number 5 finally got scary. We are in, if this is the movie, this would be the last 45 minutes of the movie, last 30 minutes of the movie. We are really, we're in the, have you read Witches?
I have.
We're in the tree. Dad is with the psycho cop who's been giving up people to the witch tree to get, you know, live forever. This is probably the best horror comic I've ever read. It's
really
hard to be scared in a comic.
It is. It is hard to be scared in a
this
comic.
This is scary. It is really scary. Dude. She's down in the pit of the cauldron, is what they call it, full of gross. But still,
Scott Snyder does horror well.
That's
why he works well with
Scott
Batman.
Scott Tinian does horror well. The fourth does
James
horror well. But yeah, James Tinian. What did I call him?
Scott. Scott Snyder, James Tinian.
You know who
they worked on Batman.
James Snyder and
James
Scott Tinian. But yeah, they work on horror really well
together.
And it's hard to do a horror comic without it being all gore. Usually, it's all gore porn. You know, like
yeah,
it's that
crossed.
Crossed, yeah, usually, yeah, crossed and that sort of thing.
You'll never unsee crossed.
Yeah, but that's hard now in comics.
That is.
This is more cerebral.
Well, people can't handle cerebral now.
This is more story-driven horror where there's a father seeking his daughter who he's been estranged from for a long time because of her problem.
The Wake was very cerebral.
The Wake was, but it was more of a sci-fi.
Yeah, but it was a lot of horror attempts.
It was.
There's a lot of The Thing in The Wake.
Oh, definitely.
Which is why I loved it.
Any other books we want to mention? I think we touched on a lot. It sucks that we touched on them because they were bad.
Yeah. Shout out to Uncanny X-Men 32 as well.
Okay.
It was really good. It was a great Scott issue.
Yeah.
It made most of this run completely worth it. It's the moment you've really waited for Scott to have is that mental breakdown after killing Professor X.
Oh,
he's kind of been saving it off for a really long time.
He's moved out of his denial almost.
Yeah, and he explains
that it was
what the mutant revolution
thing.
Was.
Okay.
And it was just, because that's all he had was a threat.
Yeah.
He figures if you, you know, threaten anybody long enough, they'll just leave you alone.
He's right.
And yeah, and that's what he was like. I was sick of mutants getting picked on. We've tried everything. We've tried moving away. We've tried being the friends. We've tried helping them out. There was only one last thing, try and bully them and get them to leave you alone.
And it worked. But the rest of the mutants didn't
and
care
it,
for
yeah,
you doing
and
that.
And he exiled himself. And it's not been worth it.
So now Emma's going to be the headmistress. Scott's going to be gone.
Scott gave all, and all his kids are ticked. You know, he promised them he would protect them, and
now
he's saying,
he's gone.
Yeah, go to the other school. I want nothing to do with you now.
Well,
tough issue. And he ends up with Alex in the end.
Him and Alex are going to kick it.
Yeah. But Alex is
young
still
Scott.
Inverted.
I heard. Oh, yeah, so he's kind of evil.
So Scott has no idea that he's hanging out with his inverted brother still.
Oh, well, that's going to be cool. Maybe Scott will see a little reflection of himself in
there. Yeah,
I'm not sure if Bendis can pull off that story.
He's leaving the book. He's going to leave that for somebody else to try.
Yeah, you guys talking about, like, they're both probably going to separate out the from the rest of the universe.
Well, that's some of the big news that came out of, I think, the Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle this weekend. That after Secret Wars, the X-Men will sort of have their own universe.
They've pretty much had that for a while.
But they've been able to do the crossovers.
Yeah.
You don't have that opportunity anymore.
Joss Whedon almost blatantly calls them out on that.
Exactly. Where would Wolverine go?
He would...
And what would happen to, like, Spider-Man and the X-Men?
What about Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch? Are they mutants? Is that why they're changing them in Uncanny Avengers so they can have them in the Avengers, you know, world that's going to happen, the universe?
You know, saying all that, it kind of makes sense. If you think about where Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver came from, was Wendigo Mountain.
Exactly.
That's how we were first introduced to them. It's highly possible they're not mutants at all. It would ruin a lot of really good stories.
All of M-Day
is gone.
It would wreck a lot of continuities.
Because then she shouldn't have a beef with mutants.
Exactly.
Because she's not a mutant.
Yeah. It would ruin...
It makes Thanksgiving with Dad strange.
All of House of M.
But two Christmases!
Yeah, dude. House of M is just worthless then at that point. Love House of M.
It's going to be very fun.
Yeah, it is. It is one of the other worlds.
It is.
So let's hope they do maintain it a little bit.
Let's talk about Secret Wars for a minute, because they just said Spider Island is going to be a thing the other week. And we missed last week because we were doing convention coverage.
Right.
Can't do it all. Yeah. We try, but we can't do it all. Not yet. We're working on doing it all. But there's going to be Spider-Man in the main thing.
Yeah.
Spider-Gwen is still going to be going on.
Yep, Spider-Gwen. They've confirmed
and
that.
And there's going to be Spider-Gwen
will survive.
Yeah, and there's going to be Spider-Verse.
Which
and Spider-Island.
Yeah.
there's a lot of Spider stuff happening in Secret
Wars. Well, you know,
Wars.
Now that Marvel has the rights to Spider-Man, they can do more expansive Spider-Man stuff.
But is Spider-Verse, really they were right. doing Spider-Verse.
Well, I mean, they're sharing the rights with Sony.
Well, they were doing the Spider-Verse when they didn't have the rights. That's
right.
pretty expansive. Well,
but they were in talks when they started
true,
Spider-Verse.
True. But Spider-Island, again, they weren't in talks, and that was pretty expansive.
Yeah.
They do a lot with Spider-Man regardless.
They do a lot with Spider-Man.
But still.
But now there's a lot of Spidey, man. For instance, Spider-Woman is now a street-level character.
Silk, too.
Well, not just Silk, but Spider-Woman herself.
Yeah,
they've turned her
she's
into a street-level.
Batgirl. She's Batgirl.
She's Batgirl now.
Yeah.
Perfect for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
For the show.
For the show. For Daredevil,
especially,
for Jessica Jones.
Especially now because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has two shields
yes.
and a Hydra still.
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
And she's a Hydra shield. Agent. Yes, she is a triple agent character. They have her right now.
I'm waiting for them to come out and say the Skrulls have been running the second shield on that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But we're getting off the subject. Any other books?
Oh, Kree Skrull War.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Any other books we wanted to discuss?
Yeah, I think that's it. That's
I
it.
Think
it was
so, too.
Week.
It
Marvel.
Was a good week. Next week is going to be an even better week.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of Image books I'm waiting for. Southern Bastards is probably going to be my pick.
Still no Death Visual number 7.
Oh, we're waiting on that.
Yeah.
That poster print, I think, comes out in a couple weeks. It's like a $25 lithograph of, what's her name?
Bernie?
Yeah, Bernie. So, yeah, we'll see that.
Subject's been teasing stuff
yeah.
on Twitter.
He's the hardest working guy in comics right now, dude. And he still finds time to interview.
Yeah.
Anyway, awesome. Thanks for listening, guys. This has been This Geek in Comics. We want to give a special thanks to Comic City 2. Please check them out at comiccity2.com, or if you're in the Nashville area, come in and see them. Games, comics, anything you want for your geek hobbies and habits.
Community.
We couldn't do anything we do without them. And listen at the end of the show for this week in music's special artist, The Mumsies. Definitely check out their website. I think it's on Bandcamp. They also have a YouTube page and all that good social media crap. And if you're in the Nashville area, check them out. They will have a CD relaunch party, I think, this Tuesday. And no matter where you're at, support local music because they support us.
That's right.
And thanks for listening, geeks. Until next time.